Chris Moon is the purveyor of the telephone to the dead, also known as Frank's Box in its original moniker, and also the editor for Haunted Times magazine. I want to ask him about what's in this current edition that's just out now, but also your questions coming up next about the telephone for the dead, your past experiences, and your reflections that may or may not agree with Chris Moon's next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Wildcard line, Zach is in Maryland for Chris Moon of Haunted Times magazine on Coast to Coast AM. Zach?
Yes. I just had a question whether he's ever watched the show Ghost Hunters on the Sci-Fi channel. They seem to do a lot of paranormal investigation, and they've got some footage of shadow people. One was that I liked was from Eastern State Penitentiary. If he'd ever seen any of that footage, or would he, if he agrees with their style of debunking and what's left is what they would consider the truth.
Well, I guess I'll just jump right in on that one. Yeah, I have seen the show. I know Jason, and I have met Grant before. You know, I've seen the footage from Eastern State, and you know, that's probably one of the most controversial pieces of footage that anybody's ever seen. The one thing that everyone's concerned about with that is if you look at the footage very closely, it looks like somebody almost has a sheet over their head, and you can see white sneakers running back and forth. And I think that they've even expressed some concern over the validity of that that piece of footage. You know, when it comes down to it, they really have a way of going in and I think they go in to debunk a situation before they go in. And we try to go in with more of an open mind. We're not looking for anything in particular, and we're not saying that it's real or not real when we go in. We definitely try to keep an open mind and just find out if there really is anything there.
Well, let's go back to that. Either it's somebody with sneakers and a sheet, or it's not. I mean, so what the theory is that they got pranked.
That's apparently what they're coming back with now. Is they're saying that was probably the situation, that maybe the crew pulled something on them. You know, I've seen the footage, and personally, it definitely looks like somebody wearing sneakers to me.
Okay, I saw something today on the Travel Channel, which was an update on something that had been on the TV show Sightings many years ago, and I remember seeing it on Sightings. The guy that had scratch marks on his body from an angry entity that was living in the home,
the selling house.
Yeah, and that this was happening on camera, that you could see the beads of blood that were kind of building up on his stomach almost while you were watching.
Mm-hmm.
Has that ever been debunked? Have you investigated that? Have you found out anything more?
It's funny you bring that up. Actually, that was one of the larger high-profile cases I've ever been involved with. I, speaking of debunking, wanted to go out and debunk that case. I thought that Sightings was strictly going for ratings with that, and that there was no way that it was possible. And to make a long story short, I was invited out several years later by the town of Atchison, Kansas, to come out and investigate the entire town. Had the opportunity to go into the Sally House and do a full-range investigation, and I was actually attacked myself. When I went in, I was actually burnt from the top of my ear to the lower part of my neck on the left side by a spirit in the house. And really, for me, validity came at that point. But several of the researchers that I took in there had been scratched and burned. And I actually had an opportunity to sit down with Tony Pickman, the man in question, in his new home in the same town, and watched him be attacked in front of us. We actually documented it on our own cameras.
Okay, and so I thought that the haunting was for that particular house. Now it sounds like he was haunted.
Well, he appears to be the catalyst. That's really what it comes down to.
Okay, and any idea why that spirit hates him so much?
Well, again, a very deep-seated town secret that goes into that location that has to do with a very prominent doctor. He used to be in office at one point. The child in question, what was the relationship of the child doctor and the mother and the doctor? And again, it just appears that there's several spirits working to keep the town secret in check.
Okay, so the people of Atchison, they know something about something horrible that happened there in the town, and they don't want to give up the secret, so the ghosts are acting out.
Well, it's actually the spirits that are still from that era that are really the ones that are still acting out towards this. It's amazing to me to find out how vain we can even be in death in trying to protect our own reputations.
Okay. Mike in Mizzou on the wild card line for Chris on – go ahead. Sounds like you're ready to go. Mike firing up already on Coast to Coast AM. Go ahead.
My question is about this Frank's box. Would there be any like catastrophically bad things that could come about by using this? Very much like if you use a Ouija board and you don't know how to use it, could you possibly let something come into your house or wherever you're using this and make it manifest itself even greater than what it already has been?
Well, Mike, I'm glad you called because that is a very good point. And I'll give an example on something that did happen in that case. Like I mentioned before, Frank and I had a falling out at one point, and he had turned several of the devices over to people who had never used them before and really had no idea how to use the devices. And we happened to be in an event at the same time, myself and two of the amateur operators. And when we went in there and we were performing a demonstration of the device, they were using the device on their own in a separate portion of the facility. And it really caused catastrophic results. The things that started coming through our device were extremely negative to the point that we couldn't control them. And we had some very, very strange things happen that night, and I can't go into all the detail. But yes, absolutely. If it's, I believe if it's placed in the wrong hands, you could see some very catastrophic results.
Okay. There you go. East of the Rockies, Maria is in North Carolina. On Coast to Coast AM for Chris. Go ahead.
Hello. I just have a quick question, and I'll hang up and listen on the radio. What about languages? Do you have different languages? Do you hear languages you don't understand and the kind of responses that you're getting?
Well, thank you for the question, Maria. We definitely do get a lot of different languages that come through initially by Earthbounds. And the one thing that we do at that point, one of the jobs of the spirit technicians is to actually do a translation and try to relay the information back to us to the best of their ability. So we do have many different cases where we're not able, I'm not a multilingual, so when it comes down to it, I have to rely on my technicians to relay messages back to me so that I can understand the spirit in question.
Can the spirits only speak the language that they knew when they died?
For Earthbounds, yes. For intelligence, that doesn't seem to be a problem at all.
Okay. And first-time caller line, Kat, is in Canada, and she's got a connection to Chris on Coast to Coast AM. Go ahead, Kat.
Hey, Ian. Hey, Chris.
Hi, you're talking with Christopher Moon. Go ahead.
Hi. You were talking earlier about Tyler, and I actually knew his sister. And I just had a question. I was wondering what kinds of messages you got from Tyler?
Well, when it comes down to Tyler, Tyler is Tyler. He still acts very much the way that his mother and father tell me he was in life. Very, very funny. His attitude is very much about business when it comes down to the job that he does, but he definitely has the mentality of an 18-year-old, and he's great to work with in that sense. You know, he had a deep love for the family, and he doesn't talk much about that unless it is directly with both of his parents. But I always just get the sense from him that family was everything for him.
Does that sound right about right, Kat?
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Okay. Colbert is in New Mexico on Coast to Coast AM. Am I getting your name right?
No, it's Colbert.
Colbert. Oh, thank you. I was in like, okay, now here I am pronouncing it like Stephen Colbert. So, all right, Colbert. All right, well, and you're talking with Christopher Moon. Go ahead.
Yes, I work for a radio station in New Mexico. It's one of the second oldest radio stations. And that place where I work, it's been like 70 years old, that place where I work. But I was just a quick question I was going to ask.
Sure.
These spirits, I know where I work, it's haunted. Like if I'm broadcasting, I could feel something go through my hair. You know, it's really cold.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some parts of the radio stations where it's so cold where, like, it freezes you. You know, it's, like, hard to move sometimes. Mm-hmm. But my quick question is, would these spirits ever hurt you? You know, would they get upset you and hurt you in any way? And, like, when I'm closing up, when I get off the air, I said bye-bye to the spirits. Mm-hmm. But I was just wondering if you could get these spirits to be upset with you and hurt you in either way.
Well, let me answer that question to the best of my ability. From what we understand, the reason that you're experiencing so many cold spots is because spirits have to pull energy from somewhere to affect anything in our world here. So sometimes when people feel cold spots and hot spots, it's because they're pulling energy out of the atmosphere around you, and that's why you're feeling that. If you've had general contact with these spirits for a long period of time, I wouldn't say you have anything to worry about. The only time that we really see anything that has to do with spirits attacking would be people who are negative in life that attracted demonic entities in death. And I wouldn't imagine that if you've had a positive experience to this point that you'd have anything to worry about at all.
There's one time, too, one of my coworkers, she worked in the office there. She just heard a voice, you know, like a yelling, somebody yelling behind her. She turned around and there was nobody there, you know, just, and we hear people talking sometimes that we can't really hear it, but we could just hear it, you know, and just like a mumbling thing. I was just wondering about that too.
Absolutely. You know, when it comes down to it, it's not common to hear disembodied voices in a location, and that may have more to do with a residual or stone recording than an active haunting, but it is possible that that could be taking place during a standard haunting.
Colbert, you know, if you're in radio and you get that feeling that something's messing with you and you just want to get it out of your hair, chances are it's the FCC. I just want to... The longer you're in broadcasting, the more you realize it's not a ghost, it's just the FCC.
But what is so unique about this radio station, see, I'm a Native American, and this radio station, it was run by the Navajo tribe. You know, when the day it started, it was run by the Navajo tribe, so it's so unique.
What's the format?
It's an all Navajo radio station. It's all native language.
So it's the music and spoken word and news and everything's done in Navajo?
All in Navajo language.
That's kind of cool. And you speak fluent Navajo too?
Yes, I speak Hopi, Zuni, Navajo, and English.
And so what kind do you play, like traditional Native American music, or
yes,
is there like a new version of it, like hip Hopi or anything like that?
Reservation country bands. We have like traditional songs, you know, like, you know, old songs from the 60s, 70s and everything. We still have the format of records, E-tracks, you know, cart machine. We still use those. Turntables, we still use that. We're still in the dinosaur age.
Well, that's all right. Well, and so what I guess that clears up the question of, you all are not connected to a casino then?
Yes, we have.
Do you?
We have so much casinos in the state of New Mexico that it's just weird. And the Navajo tribe has recently, they're going to go into casino. They're going to try to build four or five casinos on the Navajo reservation within this 4 years.
Well, that's good. You'll be able to upgrade to 8-tracks in no time then. So,
yes.
Good. You'll make sure you get some of that money coming your way to improve the studios, Colbert. And thank you so much for your time. And we'll go to the wildcard line. Linda is in Chicago on Coast to Coast AM for Christopher Moon. Go ahead, Linda.
Hi. I have a question. From what I understand about Frank's box, it's basically a source for white noise, like tuning your radio to the static in between stations so that you can give them little sound bits to work with to speak. And so I'm wondering, unless there is something inherent about it that actually attracts spirits, how would it make it special, and why wouldn't someone just use their radio for static?
Yeah, that's a great question. When it comes down to it, the only thing that I can say is that when Frank built the device, it's very specialized. Many people have tried to build these devices, and he puts up the blueprints and allows anyone to do it. No one has been successful to this point, and I say the same thing over and over again. When you are able to watch Frank go in and actually tune one of these devices when he's tuning the board, it's almost like he's listening to someone tell him how to do it. He does it all by feel. And that really is the key to this. I think that he's just been the person chosen to build this device. And when they communicate with him by first and last name. They have a special nickname for him. And there's never any question that they're trying to get in touch with Frank.
Well, can you tell us the nickname?
I'm not going to reveal the nickname. I'd have to let Frank do that. He'd kill me.
Okay, but what about Linda's point about can we just take a radio station, just put it slightly off kilter, and listen to the white noise, record that ourselves, ask questions, and hope to hear an answer?
Well, it doesn't really work on that premise. As far as I can understand how the device works, and I really do have a limited knowledge as to how it all comes together. It works on a random voltage generator. And basically what happens is the spirits are able to use their energy to pull that RVG and create a voice out of not only the white noise signal, but the radio fragment and any other signal that's out there. And that's how they're able to create one strong voice.
Okay. First-time caller line, Denny is in California on Coast to Coast AM for Christopher Moon. Go ahead, Denny.
Yes, how are you? Yes, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Very well. When you die, obviously, are you able to keep your state of consciousness than you used to have when you were alive, obviously, on the planet? My name is Denny. So when I'm dead, would I be able to remember that I used to be Denny?
Oh, absolutely. Basically, it seems that once you cross, and like we said, there's the difference between earthbound and intelligent, but once you cross through, you're very much aware of who you are, who you were, and where you are, and you have the ability to cross back and forth as you choose.
Drag. I was hoping when I died I could be somebody else, but that I could forget what I've done here. But go ahead, Danny. You had something else?
Yes, obviously, when you pass on the other side and you say you are able to talk to some people from your family, and you're saying then they have the same voice, but obviously when we're dead, we don't have any vocal cords. So how can you actually hear and how can people keep the same, voice than they had when they were alive?
That's a great question. It's more of, obviously we have the tools to create our voice here on this side using our body. But the fact is that spirits, when they speak on the other side, use more of an energy imprint. And much like they'll show themselves in photographs, they choose who and what they sound like at that point. For instance, I got a great picture of Andrew Borden at the Lizzie Borden house. It's unmistakably him, but it's not the Andrew Borden of old age. It's the Andrew Borden of probably 20, 25 years old. So I think that they really have the ability to imprint any way that they want to.
Okay, answers that question. How about the question posed by the band Crash Test Dummies? If we lose an eye in this life, do we get it back on the other side?
Great question.
Okay, I guess it'll hang out there. We'll come back. We'll get everybody else's questions on the way in just a few minutes, and it'll be our last segment that we have with Christopher Moon. Make sure you grab him right now. You get the numbers in just a moment. Look forward to hearing where you're going to take this. Also, check out the blog if you have a chance. We put it up on the website there. It's crypto news from earlier this evening. And one of those stories in crypto news pertains to this conversation next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. We're racking them up for our last segment with Chris Moon here coming up in just a second. And before we get there, give me a minute and I'll ask, what's in your current edition of Haunted Times? Just went out on the newsstands?
Yeah, we really covered just about everything in this one. Really got into the Halloween traditions and rites and things along those lines and tried to explore those from a few different angles, from the scientific aspect and from the traditionalistic aspect. And we also have a great feature in there on Roswell as well. And I think we've revealed some pretty interesting facts that may have not been explored to this point.
Can you tell us what some of those facts are?
Well, you know, there's been some documents that have recently been released, and I think that Mark Mihalko, who actually worked on that article, was able to do some digging and find some things out that I don't think have been brought to public knowledge at this point.
That, it sounds fascinating, but can you give me one that you remember from the article?
Well, Mark was really the one who dug into that one. He is our UFO guy. I'd probably do it injustice if I got into it, but I know that the article definitely held my attention.
Okay. And I'd written about, in Crypto News earlier, I've been writing about this case down in Florida. I got it from a newspaper down there, but a guy who uncovered his family tomb that had been broken. There had been bones taken out and feathers had been left behind. Somebody appeared to have been using them for some sort of ritual. They were talking about black cemeteries, traditionally sort of African-American graveyards in the South, many of which are filled old slave graveyards and stuff, and that it's like a 50-50 shot. Either a local historical society adopts them, or they end up getting paved over and they become like part of a road or a, you know, a strip mall or something.
Yeah.
Is that something you've come across a lot?
Definitely. Even going back to what we were just talking about in the last segment in the Sally House, we went back to try to find her grave, and she, of course, was part African-American, and turned out that her family's plot, as well as her own, had been just paved over in the cemetery there. They had just put a road right over the top of it like it didn't exist. It was pretty sickening.
Okay. Is that part of why some people don't pass through the gate?
I think it can be a portion of it, but I think that in most cases, a spirit will make the decision long before any kind of injustice is done to their gravesite.
Fair enough. We'll come back then. And we've given you all the numbers. We'll get all of our calls lined up next. Your chance to talk with Chris Moon on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. East of the Rockies, Scott is in West Virginia on Coast to Coast AM for Christopher Moon of Haunted Times Magazine. Scott?
Hi, Ian. It's been an entertaining show tonight. I enjoy the show every time I listen to it.
Thank you.
I've been a criminal investigator for 21 years in law enforcement. I've interviewed, I don't know, probably thousands of people in two decades or more. One thing I've noticed about your guest tonight, he gets very evasive when you ask him specific questions. He gets not answers. I think you stated once that your BS meter was kind of peaking or something to that effect. One thing I've also noticed is that people give what we call qualifying statements when they're being deceptive, like to tell you the truth or honest to God. His happens to be when you get right down to it, quote unquote. So that's just a little observation.
Well, Christopher, I have been, and I think some of the questions I'm asking you are totally fair, and I think that your reluctance to give specific details does make me think, okay, well, why is that hard? Why can't he just say what they told him about religion, for example, that if you've spoken to a spirit from the other side, give us that, you know, why hold that back from us on the basis that we can't handle that?
Well, you know, you get different answers from different people, different spirits come through, and I think that the basic idea behind it is that there's still different ideas out there. The fact is that these spirits all have different ideas and different opinions, and we want to come up with what the quote-unquote final answer will be before we're ready to present it. You know, if we had all the answers, you know, obviously that would be the best way to go. But we're still learning. We're still researching.
I get that. But, I mean, here's the problem with that, is that you're holding up the criterion that your answer has to be definitive before you give it. And it seems to me the best way to look at that is just this answer is informative. It may not be definitive. And then to give us the information that helps us understand better what those spirits are telling us about our future, especially if it is of a concern to them that we kind of pull out of the, you know, out of the terminal velocity dive we're in right now by the year 2012.
Well, definitely. And I think that that's just the case right there. I think that we need to find out exactly what the answer might be, and we want to make sure that we're making the most informed statement that we possibly can at that point.
Okay. I don't think that's going to help Scott. Let's go west of the Rockies. Let's go west of the Rockies. Bob is in Washington on Coast to Coast AM. Bob?
Hi, Ian. Hi, Chris. I've heard your shows for many years, and the thing I love about this show is despite the guests' responses, the audience as a whole, I think, has an opinion of the subjects that you get addressed. And in this case, I think I can certainly attest, I work nights for a store here in Seattle, and we've had reoccurrences of visitations of a spirit in the store. I'm not going to name the store so I don't get inundated with a bunch of people in here, but we had a murderer committed on the same block, and I have told people that have come to me with their encounters here that it's a friendly spirit. It's not haunted. It's almost juvenile, the things that we catch going on in the store. Mm-hmm. My manager actually had a presence within 5 feet of him, and he told us a week after the fact. He couldn't even tell us the night after the encounter, but as he told us, his immediate heat was removed from him. He felt a total overwhelming sense of coldness. So the statement about, you know, losing your body heat is certainly evident. But the individual that was murdered was a 14-year-old girl, and she was found in a dumpster. And I believe it's her spirit running the store. It's not evil. I don't feel any negative from her. I just feel like it's almost like a guardian angel. Another situation, I had a stepmom here in the neighborhood who had belief that her house was haunted. She and her former husband had bought it, and she tried to get my dad to get a Catholic priest to perform an exorcism, and there wasn't anybody available at the time, and he was able to contact some Peruvian women who performed what they were similar to an exorcism that took 3 days, and essentially what they found out once the fire through the hands came through and the spirits were removed, they found out the couple that owned the house had been in a sudden accident, car accident, and they didn't realize they were dead, and they were trying to scare these people out of their house. So I do believe in the other side, and maybe like Whoopi Goldberg saying in the movie Ghost that people are trying to finish things up before passing into the other side. But obviously this gentleman with Chris, what you're doing, I too just saw a recent program of the ghost sightings, and they did a house up here in Sammamish Plateau, and they actually had on the video a black silhouette of a female, mm-hmm. and they also got a voice recording with her mentioning Chestnut, and the guys taking the information presented it to the woman in the house who has an urn of the ashes of her sister, and said that that word, Chestnut, was a nickname she used as a child, and her name was Chesney, and that's the other thought that they had, the name was mentioned. So and that was just with a regular tape recorder. So I think we do have the power to record things, and it would be great if he would provide more information on the radio and give us more evidence of his findings. So, again, just keep up with what you're doing.
I appreciate that. And I'm very interested in that, and I think that there are – everything he said in there, I would say I have talked to people who've said similar things. So let's just maybe let's set aside some time here coming up where we can pull up some of the better recordings that you've had, some of the new ones that haven't been heard yet, and revisit that subject in the weeks ahead. Let's go wild card line where Lee is in Georgia on Coast to Coast AM for Chris Moon. Go ahead, Lee.
Morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
I'm 30 now. About 15 years ago, I was living in a old farmhouse in Huguenot, New York. And we had some experiences there. The funny one was the front door would be left unlocked. We'd wake up in the morning and be wide open. And we left a note on the door saying, please lock the door, and that never happened again. But the one that really solidified it in our minds that it was haunted was me, my brother, and sister lived upstairs. Each had her own bedroom. Mine was the only one that didn't have a door. And one morning, it was probably 2 or 3 in the morning, I'm laying there in bed, and I heard what sounded like somebody walking up the stairs and started walking down the hall, and I look out my door, and I see what looked like a Indian, kind of a brave, like a member of a war party, walked by my door, stopped, turned, and looked in my room, saw me, started walking towards me. He got about 2 feet away from me, and just all of a sudden appeared between me and him was an old man wearing coveralls. And the Indian stopped, disappeared. The old man looked back at me, smiled, and disappeared. And we found out later that an old couple lived in that house back, you know, in the 1800s, 1700s, and they were slaughtered by an Indian war party. Mm. And one of the Indian war party was killed by the old man, we're thinking. And the only thing we think is that's who it was that I saw that night.
Hmm. Well, that's a great story.
Maybe also worthy of some local ghost investigation. Do you have a network set up, Chris, from around the country of other people that can do what you do that you trust?
Yeah, we sure do. It's called Haunted Times Paranormal Investigations. They've all been trained by us. And if you contact us, we can go ahead and recommend a team out in that area.
Okay. And that way you can try and get some scientific proof as well. Wildcard line, Roberta is in New York for Christopher Moon. Go ahead, Roberta.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to relay two things quickly if I can. But first, something pretty interesting happened right after the last time you were on the show, Chris.
Uh-huh.
You were talking about the Frank's box, and it sounded so interesting, and not having one immediately available. Right after the show, before I went to sleep, I kind of put this thought out in the universe that, you know, hey, if there's any friendly ghosts, you know, friendly spirits out there that are feeling chatty tonight or, you know, feeling chatty, you know, I'm available. Mm-hmm. So I went to sleep, and right as I was waking up, and I don't know if this woke me up or if it just happened as I was waking up, but right as I was waking up, I heard this in my head, this very distinct voice saying, hi. You know, it's really weird pitch, like really drawn out like that. Mm-hmm. And it kind of, you know, rattled me a little bit. I wasn't, you know, scared, but, you know, I kind of thought, wait, maybe I'm not quite ready for this yet because, you know, it was a very distinct voice there.
Interesting.
And, yeah. And since we had talked about reincarnation, I kind of would like to say something that my little sister, when she was about 3.5 years old, said something really interesting. She hadn't been in school, no preschool or anything. And one day out of the blue, she just kind of looked up and she said, you know, if you don't get it right the first time, you can come back and try again. And I said, what are you talking about? She goes, oh, you know, life. You can do it over again if you want to. And just really nonchalantly, and then she went off to another thought. So I thought that was pretty interesting coming out of the mouth of Dave.
That's just it. Children, we really need to listen to them because they have a greater understanding than we ever will.
Well, I'm a big believer in retakes, so I'm good. If you get a second bite at the apple, sounds good to me. First time caller line, and James is in Colorado. Our last call, very likely, for Christopher Moon. Go ahead, James.
Yeah. Nice, good show tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks.
For like 4 years now. When you first took over, I was kind of leery, but I gave you a chance, and you're actually doing really good.
Well, I would recommend you stay leery if I were you, but thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
But I have some questions about this Frank box, and how do we know this really works?
I guess that's directed towards me. Well, the fact is that, you know, we mentioned before, demonstrations are definitely the best way. We do have recordings that are available for people to listen to. But as we all know, you know, recordings can be altered. So I always recommend that people come and see the device in person. You're in Colorado, correct?
Yeah, actually, I'm in Yampa, Colorado, and I want to know if you ever heard of this place up here.
Yeah, definitely have. I was going to mention, I'm actually going to be out at Colorado College here in a couple of weeks, and I'm also going to be up in Alamosa at a college up there if you're interested in coming seeing the device out there. But, yes, I am familiar.
Not too far away from you, James? Worth the drive?
Yeah, it might be worth the drive if I can get away. It's part of the fire department. I also work nights at the diner here in Yampa.
Okay, well, great.
There's a couple places, like across the street from where I'm staying right now, there's an old hotel that was built in the 1800s. I've felt the thing there. I've never really seen it, but other people have talked about it, and a ghost named Rufus.
Rufus?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've heard of them. I've felt them. I've never really, you know, because it used to be a kitchen in there. We've gone there and ate a couple times, and you feel like a little prankster type thing.
No, I believe you. I wasn't sure you said.
They recently closed off the room number 5, what he supposedly stayed in, because some of the guests said he was starting to get violent.
Okay.
And then also, where we're staying across the street is a hotel called the Oak Tree Inn. And here, it's really interesting because I was talking to locals who have been here all their life. There used to be a hospital in the 1800s, played a big part of the Civil War because of the gold.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had several housekeepers quit working the night shifts because they had heard two little girls. They seemed like black figure type tabloid leaning up against a wall, rolling a cigarette.
Very interesting.
Well, do they, very good. Well, I appreciate that. And thank you. I think we have time for one last caller if we hustle right now. So okay. We'll go west of the Rockies where Robbie is in California for Christopher Moon. Robbie?
Hi. Thank you so much, Ian. I enjoy your program greatly. You're
thank
a wonderful
you.
Watchman. Chris,
I appreciate
nice to
that.
Talk with you. Chris, I wanted to make a comment. I do want to echo our investigator's comment about the evasiveness. It does come across very clearly. And it might be something that you might want to look at in terms of your own approach. My other comment was is that it does appear, or get your opinion on, it does appear that these programs that are on currently quite sensationalist, but I don't hear anyone talking about protective devices, protective prayers. And
well,
I don't see anyone really doing any kind of healing, assisting spirits making the crossing.
Well, let's give them a chance to answer to that in the time that we have. Healing, I know that's something that has come up with your work. We've got about 30 seconds for you.
Yeah, when it comes down to it, we definitely do help spirits cross on a consistent basis. And there's really not much to that. It's the fact that doorway is always open to them. And basically sometimes they just need to understand that it's there and that they're not going to be judged when they cross. And I'd say on an average week, we probably help maybe 5 or 6 spirits cross each week and help them get through.
Well, let's leave that there and thank everybody. The email, I'm sure, for you can come into directly from the website, link up to you there. I know for Halloween this year, I'm going to get like some big cardboard box and make a telephone to the dead. And I'll walk around on Halloween following all those kids wearing the sheets over their heads and try and get them to talk. Kind of a fun thing. God bless you. Thank you so much for your time. It's Christopher Moon, and you can find out more through him at coasttocoastam.com. Deus te amat. And I do too.